This is the Warren County Radio Bible School. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard of the evil Bible? We think of the Bible as good. In fact, a lot of times it's called the good book. Have you ever heard of one called the evil Bible? Now, I'm not talking about satanic scriptures. It was actually a printing of the King James Version of the Bible, but instead of calling it a good book, they called it the evil Bible. Let me tell you why. The printers made a mistake in setting the type, and instead of the commandment, "Thou shalt not commit adultery," it read, "Thou shalt commit adultery." Well, that's why it was called the evil Bible. Adultery is a terrible sin. I heard about a little fella. He was trying to memorize the Ten Commandments, and when he got to this one, he understood it wrong, and he said, "Thou shalt not admit adultery." Well, that's not what it says. It says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." And we're going to be studying that commandment in just a moment. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Viola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. But now let's look at the lesson we're having on the Ten Commandments. And this, by the way, is a Sunday school lesson that was put together by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of August the 29th, 1926. "Thou shalt not commit adultery." That is Exodus chapter 20 and verse 14. "By this commandment, fornication and all uncleanness are forbidden. Where the civil law grants divorce and permits those divorced to marry again, except for the cause of fornication, it legalizes one form of adultery." Hear it in Matthew 19:9. "Whosoever shall put away his wife except for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And he that marrieth her when she is put away, committeth adultery." Again, in Matthew 5:28, in a similar way, Jesus said, "I say unto you that every one that looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already in his heart. The secret of all purity and goodness is to keep the thoughts, imaginations, and purposes pure. Bring every thought into captivity to obedience to Christ." 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5. "Or know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with men, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10. Some years ago, Playblow's Select Notes said, "Whosoever would be pure in heart must keep his eyes from debasing pictures, statues, and books, his ears from hearing foul stories, his mouth from telling them. Impure plays in our theaters are responsible for many a ruined life. Dancing, especially round dance, leads directly to licentiousness." You know, we teach little children, be careful little eyes what you see. Be careful little ears what you hear. Be careful little mouth what you say. For the Father up above is looking down with love. Be careful. We teach that to children. We should learn that lesson as we hear those children sing. Teachers should emphasize the danger and sin of these kinds of things today. Some sins just lead to greater sins. And so we want to avoid that, don't we? Flee fornication. We read in 1 Corinthians 6:18, every sin that man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. This sin is most ruinous to body, to mind, and to soul. There's nothing in the immodest dress or other customs of modern society and the conventional means of the term which serves as a restraint to licentiousness. On the contrary, the tendency of prevailing fashions, the pushing of women to leadership of men, and much of the teaching of the day are in the opposite direction. As with a solemn duty of obedience to parents, the way to purity of thought and life, and therefore of restraint of unwholesome and unlawful freedom between men and women, must begin in the home, must be taught in the schools, must be preached with power from all pulpits. Immodest dress must be exchanged for modest apparel. Some powders and paints and lipsticks are for shame. We need to change some of that for shamefastness and sobriety. Parading in the streets and displaying physical attractions and mixing in all public places in unhealthy ways need to be changed for chaste behavior coupled with fear. And there's such a goodness that comes through homekeeping and the duties and charms and beauties of loveliness and grace and glory of the Christian home. Young men must be taught and trained to be sober-minded and to treat elder women as mothers and younger women as sisters in all purity. This is as much the duty of life of men as modesty, humility, and chaste manner of life and homekeeping are of women. Now the next commandment, Exodus 20:15, thou shalt not steal. There are innumerable ways, almost, of stealing. The New Testament teaches us to take thought for the things honorable in the sight of men, Romans 12:17. Adulteration of food is not only stealing, but as we have seen, that can kill and result in murder. A man would be better to sell whiskey or steal a horse than to poison food. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have whereof to give to him that hath need. People must work at something honest, or either steal or beg. They must work or beg or steal or starve. Many cheat, defraud, and lie, and steal in order to keep from honest work. The love of money leads many to steal. Honesty, uprightness, and integrity are the greatest capital one can have. We read in Proverbs 22:1, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor than silver and gold. The worst sort of stealing is to steal the word of God from people by preaching error. Render to all their dues. Tribute is to whom tribute is due. Custom to whom custom. Fear to whom fear. Honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything save to love one another. For he that loveth his neighbor hath fulfilled the law. Romans 13:7-8. Exodus 20:16. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. To bear false witness against one neighbor is not only to lie, but also to injure another. There are so many ways of bearing false witness. Of course, he who perjures himself does this. So does he who slanders his neighbor. We read in Proverbs 16:28, a whisper separateth chief friends. And he that uttereth slander is a fool, Proverbs 10:18. Wherefore, putting away falsehood, speak ye truth, each one with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. Ephesians 4:25. Many are too quick to take up and to circulate an evil report. A report is evil if it's not true, and if it does much evil. Much mischief may be done in this way, and the mischief maker think he has done no harm. But he has, and God knows. It's wise to know how to keep our mouths shut sometimes, and we don't have to share secrets that are harmful about others. We can keep them to ourselves and be friends to those who share their own secrets with us. And so we don't want to bear false witness with our neighbor or say anything that would cause harm to our neighbor. Now here's the last commandment. Thou shalt not covet. Covetousness is a great sin and condemned in the New Testament. To desire anything that is one's neighbor's that one should not lawfully have as his wife, or desire without giving value received, which is lawful to possess, that's to be covetous. All of this is forgiven. But covetous is more than this. One may give value receive for all one possesses, and desire nothing one should not lawfully possess, and yet be covetous. James says, take heed and keep yourselves from all covetousness. Then he gives the parable of the rich fool, who is an example of covetousness. This man was not foolish because he owned a farm, or because he was industrious, or economical, or made honestly all he possessed. But his sin was in hoarding it up and not being rich toward God. Luke 12:13-21. So then, any man who does as this rich fool is covetous before God. The lesson here emphasized by Jesus is, for man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. The love of money is strongly condemned in the Bible. And covetousness, in Colossians 3:5, is put down as idolatry. A covetous person will be lost with thieves, murderers, whoremongers, and drunkards. The church should do all in its power to save all members as well as all others and from all of these sins. And if it cannot, then it should withdraw from all who walk disorderly. That's what Paul recommended in 2 Thessalonians 3:6-15. Love for one's neighbor embraces every duty to him. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is summed up in this word, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Love, therefore, is the fulfilling of the law. Romans 3:9-10. And with that, this Sunday school lesson comes to a close. And on the opening page, I see that we have the next lesson, the tent of meeting. This is a Sunday school lesson prepared for the Sunday schools of September 5, 1926. And we're going to read about the tent of meeting, reading from Exodus 33:7-16. That's going to be the lesson text. Now, the golden text for this Sunday school lesson is Exodus 33:11. Jehovah spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh to his friends. And so we're going to read about the erection of the tabernacle in the wilderness and the importance of that. And we'll see some things that show how the tabernacle was shadowing things that were to come in the New Testament, and in the New Testament, we're going to have the substance. Now, just a reminder, there was a tabernacle in the wilderness, and later the temple in Jerusalem, But we'll get to that in our next lesson.